Hey guys, welcome back to my podcast, Weekly with Fahad Khan, and I'm your host, Fahad Khan. And today we have a special guest, Hamza Hosseini. So Hamza, let's get to know you a bit. So Hamza, you are a senior at DePaul studying Arabic and have a minor in religious studies.
Yep.
And you completed your Hafiz at Darussalam in 2011, and you're currently planning on studying the Deen full-time, inshallah, and graduating this spring. So, Hamza, JazakAllah for being here. I really appreciate it. And this is episode 2 of the podcast. And for people that are new to this, we have on YouTube, Weekly with Fahad Khan is the channel's name. We have the video and the audio only, the Q&A, which you can find on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Apple Podcasts, and more. You have to check the link in bio to get all the information to that. And yeah, Hamza, please tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, first of all, JazakAllah Khairan for, the invite, of course. It's a pleasure and an honor. Alhamdulillah, this is my first time really kind of doing one of these. This is fun. So just a little bit, you kind of already said everything, but, currently a senior at DePaul. My major is Arabic studies, minor in religious studies. I transferred to DePaul in the fall of 2018, and I've been there from College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Before that, I graduated high school from Islamic Foundation School in Villa Park.
IFS.
Yeah, IFS, the rivals, of course, of MCC, at least in, alhamdulillah. So, the reason why I actually have a lot of kind of love and respect, actually, for MCC is because I actually, when we moved to Chicago in 2002, I actually was at MCC for a year when we were living there, and then we moved a year later. We moved where we live now. I actually was at MCC for I think basically the first year of MCC, and the full time school. I think it was Mr. Fadri's first year as principal. I was in my my mom was my teacher actually, and with Miss Razia, I think she's still there.
It's been a while since I've seen those teachers.
Last time with Jamal, you're talking a lot about the MCC community. I also have a lot of, love and respect for it because, it was very much, one of the first, immigrant, Chicago masjids, ever, MCC, and IFS a little bit later, and, all these, really early masjids, MSI in Glendale Heights, Bloomingdale. It's these people who kind of laid this groundwork for us to show the youth, the next generation could grow and flourish. So that's why I kind of have a lot of respect. So just to bring that up, like I said, I was at MEC for a year, came here where I live now in 2003. I was in public school for a couple of years. Then afterwards, at the age of 11, after fifth grade, I started my memorization. I was in a few places before I began at Darussalam. I was at MSI, I just mentioned, in Glendale Heights. Then I actually did HIFZ at IFS before I was a student there. I did HIFZ at IFS with Hafiz Habibur Rahman Khan, he's kind of well known in that community. So I was there, MSI, IFS, that was a year. And then for the next 4 years from 2008 till 2012, I was at Darussalam afterwards, which I started, I finished there and was there for revision for 7 months. then yeah. So like I mentioned, you mentioned how I finished my memorization in 2011, December 2011.
Yeah.
But I stayed for another 7 months till that July to do what they call DOR, or just, you know, just a revision. Mm-hmm. Then I started high school. I started high school actually at 16.
Wow.
So I came in a little bit older than the rest of my classmates. So which is why I'm actually like I came to college also a little bit older, but you know, I'm sure you already like there's people of all ages in college.
Yeah, people of all ages in college. Yeah,
especially when I went to college in DuPage. I mean, you'll find. I mean, like I was honestly like in my friend group at COD. I was actually like on the younger side. You know? Yeah. So it's just interesting there. Like, yeah. So I mean, there's you know, that's something. And then like I said, I transferred to DePaul in 2018. I've been at DePaul ever since. I graduated from IFS in 2016. Started at DePaul in 2018. I'm still at DePaul, planning a college graduate this June. And then, in terms of future plans, like, inshallah, the plan is to study the deen full time, at least for a bit, and then continue part time, inshallah, afterwards. But, you know, all these things are, you know, we make plans, right? You know, and
the
then.
Plan might not go all the way.
Like, you know, we don't know, like, you know, it says, Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, someone can look at the ayah number, but وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plan, and Allah plans, and Allah planned, and Allah is the best of planners.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean we don't kind of have plans for the future, right? No, it doesn't mean like, you know, well, you know, Allah will just take me anywhere. No, that's not how this works. You know, you can't, you make your best effort, and like, you kind of go in the direction that you feel like, you know, after talking with your elders and kind of consulting it. You do your istikhara, as we call it, and then you just do the best you can. And if Allah steers us in another direction, then you know we're content with that. You know, and you know the best kind of example of that is, you know, we're coming upon a year now of COVID-19. So mm-hmm. Like, how many plans were, you know, kind of turned upside down as a result of, mm-hmm. of just the virus?
But how many opportunities did it open?
Oh
for
my
us?
Goodness.
Whenever we focus on the bad, we don't think about the good. We always focus on the bad. But this is true to everyone. We always make plans. If they don't go according, we always think the bad of things. We don't always look at what opportunities does this open. Like I told you before, like before we started recording, like I started my YouTube channel, but I never used it. And
yeah.
Now during COVID, I have time to do my YouTube channel and like this, like the podcast. I can.
Yeah, mashallah.
And this is something,
you know. Make sure to, by the way, if you're not subscribed to Fahad's YouTube channel, I'll give you a second to go to YouTube and subscribe. Okay. You know, yeah. Free plug. You know, for
free plug. Yeah.
Yeah, mashallah. Yeah, but subhanallah, that's the thing, right? You know, everything, you know, there's no like. Well, you know, bad things do happen. Like, mm-hmm. Like there's nothing that happens to us that isn't an opportunity. And like, you know, we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Like, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like in the opinion of his abd, in the opinion of his servant.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if we expect good from Allah, then you know, inshallah, Allah will give us good. But like, if we're always assuming bad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's, you know, I mean, you reap what you sow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just love that mindset of you know, it's just another opportunity, right? Like, you know, on the one hand, you know, we can't go places, like, you know, we all have to leave school. So, like for me, I was living on campus at the mm-hmm. time, and it was particularly like not stressful, but just like, you know, sad. Like, you know, I had all these plans, you know, to kind of like do all these things, and like it was just kind of
gone in an instant.
But like, you know, I had so many other opportunities to, you know, and we all, you know, had all these other opportunities that we never would have had without COVID, right? So like, you know, subhanAllah, like, you know, like a relative passes away, you know, like, and people get more motivated to, like, people have so much more motivation to kind of get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have an opportunity to kind of, you know, get close with the rest of their family, right? Like, and like even something as traumatic as like a family death, right? While it is sad and while it is tragic, and like, you know, for anyone else who's kind of been through that, that's nothing to kind of to trivialize. But at the same time, like, you know, since we are people of optimism, we are people of I would say, it's always looking for ways to get closer to Allah, and use that kind of sadness, and you kind of use those whatever so-called terrible things might happen to us. There's always a way, you know, like, I mean, just name anything, and like, there's always a way to kind of make something good out of it, right? And you know, the reason why I kind of gave that particular example is, you know, happened with me a couple weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah, like, you know, just the amount I've learned about myself since my dad passed away.
I'm really sorry about that, man.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. Like, what we're talking about right now, right? Like, on one hand, it was sad, it was tragic, it was kind of a difficult kind of thing to go through, but at the same, like, you know, there's, you know, like, you know, you can make dua for this person, like, mm-hmm. you know,
and, when you make dua, like in Islam, we have Rasulullah said that after a person passes, there are like a few ways where they can still keep earning. That's called sadaqa jariya.
Yeah,
which, like, one is with offspring whenever they make dua.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
And whatever they put out, like, say your dad taught you surah, and the surah that he taught you, you teach it to, like, say me or say your friends.
Inshallah, my friends or inshallah my own kids or whoever, like my own student, like,
subhanAllah. Yeah, that reward will multiply and go back to your dad.
And like, and, subhanAllah, and like first of all, Allah is just so generous, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a person's, like, their life is over. You know, their life is, but like, you know, and you know, you had your chance, you know, you had your 50 years, you had your 20 years, 30 years, 100 years, whatever, like, you know, that line is, that, like, if Allah said, like, you know, you had all this time to accumulate good deeds, like, you know, hope that it was enough to, you know, kind of earn Allah's, to get Allah's mercy, but, you know, He still, in His generosity, gives us these routes of even getting, you know, even someone's station being further raised, mm-hmm. right? You know, like you mentioned, with this continuous charity, sadaqa jariya, with, you know, righteous offspring, with you know, the beneficial knowledge that mm-hmm. that, you know, remains, you know, years and years, and sometimes even generation after generation of mm-hmm. of people,
like, say like, okay, like, near us they're thinking about building a masjid or something like that, and you even purchase one brick, say, like, okay, even one brick you buy, and whenever they use that brick and whoever goes in that masjid that to pray, or the kids that do hymns over there, or the people that are there for Jummah or for Ramadan and all of that, imagine the amount of good deeds that will give you. And until that masjid is gone, then that good deed stops. But until then, you keep getting more and more, and which is like really like mind blowing. And
think about it, you know, and I mean, just think about one day, right? Mm-hmm. You have, you know, like, one day you have five salawat, you have five prayers, right? You have all the people who pray the two rakats sunnah of Fajr. Then you have all the people who pray the two rakats of four, you know, behind the imam. Then mm-hmm. you have the four, you know, the sunnah of Dhuhr, you know, the four of Dhuhr, the sunnah of Dhuhr again, you know, whoever prays the sunnah of Asr, then Salasar Asr, then Maghrib, then the sunnah of Maghrib, then the sunnah of Isha, then Isha, then, you know, Salatul Witr. Mm-hmm. That's just one day, right?
That's just one day.
Yeah, hundreds and thousands of
and that's only from one person.
One day. How about like a month? How about one Ramadan, right? How about a year? How about 10 years? How about 20 years? You know, how about 50 years? You know, like, some of these,
even 100 years, like, there's still masjids.
It's still that, like, you know, I mean, here in America, we, like, in Chicago, we don't have, like, our somewhere beside you that are, you know, some built like 70s. I'm not sure if there's any that are surviving. I mean, some of them, mashallah, some in like, you know, like some of them, mashallah, like have been continuously running since I don't know when, like it's far beyond my time. But like, you know, you have, you know, the early, African Americans who have, you know, mashallah, been some of them established communities, like, you know, early in the 20th century, like coming up on 100 years for some of those, subhanAllah. And, but like, I mean, the point is like, people who are long past, we don't know who they are. No one knows, like, their family has got, their family don't, maybe not even know who they were, right? Like, they were just, but like, just giving like $1, like, subhan, like, or just one bit of contribution, someone who can't even, you know, some people can't afford that, but like someone who kind of invested their time in building that masjid, or someone who, yeah, just someone who gave their time, right? Like, all of those good deeds are still being racked up for that person. And I mean, like, how, you know, just like how generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Allah the Exalted, but also just like how much does that person profit? And like, you know, we talk about, you know, speaking of recent news, like,
so like what you're saying, okay, so let's connect it back to like what we were talking about, like the opportunity that we're given, for us, like, we would have never met if COVID didn't happen, because how did we meet? We met through Jira class, and you and Omar Latif,
subhanAllah, like, so I got I think it was a phone call or text from, you know, brother Omar Latif, who said, like, you know, hey, well, he asked me to just come on as a guest, I think, once.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe
but
I thought
then,
it was
then after that.
Then. Yeah, and then, like,
so, happened.
And, you know, he said, you know, do you want to do this, like, Jira thing? You know, it was, because it was similar to something we had been doing at DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I remember, like, I used to hear about the one he was doing in person, like, at MCC.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, and that's kind of how, you know, he would bring some of what he was doing at over in the masjid to DePaul for our, you know, for our Ummah Sira class. And you know, from that, we kind of, you know, we you know, he, I mean, I had the honor of like being a part of, you know, the Sira classes that we were doing over Zoom, you know facilitated, of course, by, you know, by Sara Aunty, you know, whom I think you, Jamal, kind of given like a subhanAllah, and like it was, and I remember, like, you know, you, Fahad, you were like the one guy, mashallah, who came like every single time.
Yeah.
No, like not even missed a single. Like, there were times where even like I missed it, you know, subhanAllah, and like, you know, I'm supposed to be the guy who's giving the, like, let alone, like, you know, subhanAllah. And but, like, you know, so it was just and the thing is, like, and, well, you know, it's not, you know, inshallah, when we get back in person, we'll be, I hope to kind of attend them in person.
Mm-hmm.
Inshallah, when I get the chance. Subhanallah, like, the thing about, you know, speaking about the greatest of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, it's like, you know, like the poet, I believe it was, no, don't quote me on this, but I believe the companion, the Sahabi, Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, someone can fact check this, but he said, like, I did not honor Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, with my words, rather my words were honored with Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, like, having the privilege and honor of, like, being able to share a few things about the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and about, like, his qualities and kind of the lessons that can be learned from his life. It's such a, like, it was, I mean, like, regardless of, you know, attendance, or regardless of, like, you know, interest, or, like, you know, I was interested enough to, like, you know, do it to one other, or even just, like, if it was just me and Omar, right, like, I don't mind, like, we're, it's just, you and I, right now, it's just you and me right now, and, like, if I was just the one speaking to you, if you were just speaking to me, and we were talking about, you know, the greatest of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him. And
yeah, we just did another episode where we talk about, like, you know, getting more into depth, like, what we talked about and all.
Yes, but, like, you know, I'd be totally happy with that. So, like, I remember one of the things, and this wasn't really planned, in like when me and Omar would be like preparing the plans and the notes and stuff. But it was subhanAllah. The one thing that we kind of ended up emphasizing a lot was the value and the importance of preparations plus tawakkul, right? And then doing the work that's necessary. You know, this is something you constantly see in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He takes his preparations. Like as we say, like tire camel, then you put your trust in Allah, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you know, you constantly see this like planning to the T, and then he puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, right? In any of the battles, they still make their preparations, they still do everything they can in their power to kind of like prepare for the battle that was to come. And but at the end of the day, where does his faith lie? Where is he putting his heart? His heart, like, you know, you don't, we don't like put the actual, like, it's not like we don't do the preparations. Obviously we do the preparations, but like, where does his heart kind of, you know, depend on? His heart, his faith depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sorry for stopping you. Like the Battle of Badr, like it was 100 soldiers versus
333 and some,
And what did Rasulullah do? He prayed to Allah.
Yeah.
He kept his faith in Allah, and Allah helped him.
Yeah, subhanAllah. But that's the thing. Like, they still fight their hardest, obviously. They don't, like, and to kind of draw back to our own selves, right? Like, you know, the classic example is like an exam. You know, you study as much as you can, right? You drink your 8 cups of coffee, you know, your 5-hour, like, you know, whatever. However, like, means, you know, you want to use. I don't condone doing this, by the way. I kind of would recommend against it.
Yeah, with me, I rarely have coffee.
Yeah,
I usually just drink tea or water.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, but what I mean, like, this, I mean, it's just, what, however people prepare, I mean, like, you know, sometimes, obviously, for people who are kind of up, like, in graduate school or something else, they have to kind of, like, you know, like sometimes, like with med school, I've seen people like have to skip class. Like they have to skip studying because they have to study. Like they're too busy to study to even like attend class. Like if like the class is like not super important, like that is just like that's just how much studying they have to do, just on a daily basis, right? And like so like, you know, you take your preparations, but at the end, where are you putting your trust? Because the results at the end of the day, who does the result, who's in control, who's in power of the result of the natija? It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you, when we sort of have this belief, it's very freeing, actually. Because if you're in the mindset that your aid depends on your preparations, then that one time you don't study for 6 hours, you only do like 2 or 3. Or whatever, or like, you know, you kind of, you know, or like something happens, and you know, you're not able to study at all. And like, you know, even though you did the best you could, it's just like, you know, you weren't able to prepare as much as you wanted to, whatever. Like you'll just panic. You'll just, you see people like, you know, they're so nervous the night before an exam, right? There's just, some people like lose sleep over it. Some people, and it's obviously it's normal. Like everyone gets nervous the night before an exam. I'm not saying you shouldn't get nervous the night before an exam. But what I'm saying is, what are you depending on, right? What are you, are you actually putting faith in your own effort? Because at the end of the day, we have this belief, right? And this is something, you know, we hear all the time, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no power or might except with Allah. So theoretically speaking, and this is not how we should operate, but theoretically speaking, you know, the logical sort of conclusion to that is, even if I did nothing at all, Allah could still give me an A. That's not generally how, you know, things work. Obviously, like, you know, we're obligated to take those means, the asbab, and work as hard as we can. But at the end of the day, they're just asbab, and Allah doesn't need these means, these kind of like, you know, like intermediaries to kind of, you know, execute His will. But like he obligates us to do so, but He's not dependent on those. But because Allah is in control of everything, you know, we don't put our faith in those. But we do them because we're obligated to do so. Like we're obligated to study for that test. We're obligated to, you know, put our seatbelts. You know, for, I'm not saying it's called putting the seatbelt. Giving an example, like you know, you put on your seatbelts. You know, we can build cars with like, you know, all this technology to kind of keep us safe. But at the end of the day, like it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's in control, right? And putting our, the effort is one thing. We're still obligated to put in that effort as much as we humanly can. But the reason why we put in our effort and what we're putting our faith into, like what is our heart depending on? Like at the end of the day, who are we depending on for to be kept safe, to kind of, you know, get the job, to make the money? It all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if those means fail for whatever reason, if a virus comes and you lose your job, if a virus comes and you kind of don't have any way to, you know, and like it seems like you can't, you know, pay rent, like, you know, we're not dependent on those jobs to pay our rent. We're not dependent on those jobs to make that money to, you know, to like whatever, get that education. Like those are the means that Allah gave, but He's not dependent on those means. So when Allah takes those means away, He hasn't lost control of the situation.
Like there's an ayah in the Quran that says, Allah created man, jinn, and man only to for the purpose of worshiping Him. Exactly. Allah doesn't benefit from you or from anyone, because
no,
what Allah, we do, never, the praying, the Quran reading, we're benefiting ourselves to become better Muslim. We're not helping in Allah anyway. We're just showing that, Ya Allah, we need you. At the end of the day, Ya Allah, we need you. We're doing this to get closer to you, to help you, to for asking your help to benefit us for what's good for us. Like,
yeah,
that's the whole point. And I can't remember. Forgive me for that, but I don't remember what surah I did, but that's something that's really good to have. Like, whatever we do, we're benefiting only ourselves. We're not benefiting anyone else.
SubhanAllah. No, it's so, SubhanAllah, just true. Like, you know, again, just Allah doesn't benefit from our worship, right? You know, so like the ayah, I believe you're, if I'm not mistaken, the ayah you're talking about is وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a surah Dhariyat. It's a surah number 51. That's ayah number 56. Mm-hmm. You know, I did not create jinn and you know, the jinns and the humans except to worship me, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So it's our purpose to, you know, to obey Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we're here, this is our test.
But He doesn't need that. Like, we're only benefiting ourselves at the end of the day. Like, our obedience doesn't increase or benefit Allah in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Nor does our disobedience decrease or harm or hurt Allah even the slightest amount. So, so when we don't, like, when we fail to kind of worship Allah in this way, or when we fail to kind of, you know, do what we're obligated to do, we're only hurting ourselves. And when we do go through with what we're obligated to do, we're helping ourselves, right? And we're benefiting ourselves. And that's what this life is all about, really. Like, it's just, I mean, it's not complicated. At the end of the day, it's really not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what's fard, stay away from what's haram. If you mess up, say astaghfirullah, you know, make it, do tawbah, move on, and just do the best you can.
Mm-hmm. Here's another thing that Allah is merciful about, because I can't remember, but whenever say we make a, like, I can't remember who said this, or like Allah I will love the people that keep making mistakes over and over again, because he knows that they're going to keep coming back to Allah and asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, as long as you forgive people. In Allah, yuhibbu at-tawwabin, right? Mm-hmm. It's in Surah Baqarah. Like Allah loves those who are, you know, the tawwabin, basically, like, to the best of my understanding. And again, if someone else has a better translation of this, you know, they can kind of tell us in the comments. But like, basically, those who are constantly making tawbah, right? Those who are constantly turning back to Allah, those who are constantly asking Allah basically for forgiveness. So it's strange, right? Like, you know, to be someone who's constantly in tawbah, is, you'd have to be constantly sinning, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're someone who constantly sins without making tawbah, that's a humongous problem, right? Mm-hmm. Then that's kind of an issue. It's a humongous issue. We ask Allah to protect us from that. But being someone who's a tawwab, or it's being someone who's constantly making tawbah, requires someone to be someone who's constantly sinning. And we're all sinners. Some more than others, and everyone sins differently. You know, no one's free, you know, no one alive today is like free from sin. You know, the anbiya, of course, are masum, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, the last prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is already passed from this earthly realm. So like no one on earth right now is ma'asum anymore. Like no one is free from sin, right? But the idea is not that we abstain from sins as much as we can. But if we ever do sin, when we do sin, we ask Allah to forgive us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to kind of guide us away from sin. And if we happen to fall in that sin a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time, or a tenth time, or a hundredth time, or a thousandth time, or a millionth time, as long as we're sincere in that turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as we're sincere in asking Allah for forgiveness, and in genuinely hope, and genuinely like regretting and not wanting to return to the sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive us every single time. Allah is al-ghaffar. Mm-hmm. Allah is al-ghaffar. You know, He's the one who's constantly forgiving over and over again. And He's the one who forgives, you know, on a humongous scale. Like, you know, our sinning doesn't hurt Him, nor do our good deeds benefit Him. So,
there's thing about forgiveness. I have a video of it on my Instagram that says, Allah, say your sins reach to the seven heavens.
Yeah.
If you ask Allah for sincere forgiveness, Allah will match it and forgive you.
Allah.
And there's a whole lot for people that are non-Muslim. Like, this isn't our way of like, okay, like you have to be Muslim. And, like, we're not forcing you. We're just like, for me, like, I grew up in a Muslim community. I'm Muslim, so hence why I have like a lot of Muslim people come up for it, because I relate to them more, and because like we've known each other for a while. We've known each other for like about a year.
I'm trying to think. I mean, when did the Sirakasa started? Fairly early on. I think it was like
around Ramadan time.
Was it Ramadan? Yeah. So Ramadan, I think, started late April. So mm-hmm. like coming up on. So maybe like 8 months now, almost a year, 9 months. Mm. So I mean, you're talking about the hadith. So like, you know, son of Adam, even if your sins were to reach up the clouds of the sky, mm-hmm. and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. Mm-hmm. And like, this is a small part, but like, subhanAllah, right? And like you mentioned about posting like these reminders and beneficial things on social media, on Instagram, and like, you know, different people see these things and stuff. But subhanAllah, like, some people are inspired by them. I mean, like, it's not enough, right? It's not like, it's not an education. Like, you kind of see, I think they are beneficial. They do hold a lot of benefit, especially for people who are looking for those reminders and like, the kind of people who benefit from reminders. And then you have others who kind of just like scroll by or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, it does, reminders like have their function, but they're not enough to kind of give an entire outline of a full Islamic education, if that's what I call it. I would recommend to anyone who kind of wants to get properly close to the deen properly, I mean, to kind of find a teacher or find like a reputable kind of Islamic institution in their area, or like, I mean, there's a couple online as well. Mm-hmm. I can, if you want me to, I can kind of give some recommendations for those who are interested. But I mean, like, I think what people need to realize is that, I mean, they have their function, and I don't want to take away from that. And anyone who kind of scoffs at that may not really kind of understand the bigger picture. But I will say, like, I wouldn't even consider myself someone who's like someone who studied or someone who's a student, but someone who knows, as someone who kind of knows a lot of people who have or who currently are, I'm there's really nothing that can replace the wholesomeness or the full picture, because reminders and stuff are just a small part of the picture.
Yeah, but until you go in and do the research yourself, then you get the bigger picture.
And you
can learn from one person, but that's not enough. Until you start going and putting your own work and start learning for yourself, then you'll feel okay, I know someone told me this, and then I want to do more research into it. But once you do it for yourself, then you feel a satisfaction of that I went out of my way to go learn this, and now I feel better. I put in the work for my own knowledge, for my own benefit that I went and learned this something on my own.
So part of the reason why I wanted to kind of study on my own as well is because I was kind of tired of being dependent, as much as I love and appreciate my teachers, and I'll continue to kind of depend on them forever. But I mean, there comes a point where you kind of have to be able to stand on your own two feet a little bit when it comes to, and the idea of total dependency on other people for whatever questions you need answered. I wanted to be able to answer my own questions rather than having to go somewhere else, because at the end of the day, nothing really kind of can replace that. And I would encourage anyone, not everyone is obligated. Some people, there need to be some scholars, obviously, but not everyone is obligated to become a scholar of the deen. But definitely, I recommend to anyone listening this to kind of at least have some kind of class, at least take, a kind of a basic of Islam class, beyond the Sunday school education. I mean, Sunday school education is great, alhamdulillah, people need to learn. But sticking with the same things you learned when you were max 13, 14, 15, till, for the rest of your life is not, especially when
some knowledge is good for a period of time, but the more knowledge you learn as you grow up, that's beneficial, along the way.
It definitely, and there's so many other things that we never stop learning, right? We stop taking, imagine if the last math class that you took was pre-algebra in seventh or eighth grade, right? Uh-huh. When kids do pre-algebra, and it depends on the grade level, but just to give an example, imagine if that's the last math class you ever took. Throughout the rest of your life, you never learned, throughout the rest of your academic career, you never took another math class, not in high school, not in college, not ever, right? And no one is going to tell you that that's enough, right? It's a necessary skill to just have, right? But I mean, unfortunately, that's what so many people are doing with their Islamic knowledge, right? I mean, they learn a couple surahs, they learn some very basic sort of things, maybe they learn some stories, and that's what they have for the rest of, and how are you gonna 20 years down the line, when your kid asks you why it's haram to have a girlfriend, or why it's haram, to have a boyfriend or whatever, how are you gonna know that if you barely know more than alif bata, and everyone should know. I'm not saying everyone should definitely know without a doubt alif bata, should definitely know Surah Al-Fatiha. Definitely should know like all these things that we learn in Sunday school. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying there needs to be a little bit more than that. And if you're gonna be, if we're gonna be adults,
so like basically, just go the extra mile on stuff.
Please, I mean, like, you know, and I would even argue that it's not an extra mile. Go the mile, mm-hmm. because it's not even like in some cases, like having a basic understanding of what it is we believe as Muslims and what our creed is. You know, what our aqidah, you know, our kind of like system of beliefs, and just like some basic understanding of tahara, of, you know, of kind of what breaks wudu, what doesn't break wudu, and like, and you know, once you look into it a little bit, there's actually so much more than people even like kind of like know. And inshallah, like,
yeah, like, just, like, so like from yeah. my personal experience, like at MEC I started learning Sira was roughly starting middle school, yeah. and like I'm like, okay, here's one, but there's always more, because I always kept taking theater classes. Like I either like a lot of imams or sheikhs, or they always learn the theater. Not everyone's yeah. perspective is the same, and like there's more that you can learn. So like for yeah. me, like we did, like I met you through theater class. I already learned the theater years yeah. ago. I could have been like, oh, I don't need this year class. I could, I'm fine with the knowledge. But when you, me, Omar Latif, and other people, like, I benefited more. I learned more than what I, like, I learned more stuff that I didn't know before, like, which is, like, you don't know until you learn more and more of the same stuff. Yeah. You uncover more stuff. And, like, going back to, like, the forgiveness part, I actually found the video. They're going to be viewing this on YouTube. I'm going to put this at the very end, and I'm going to put the link in the description. But for the people that are watching, like hearing the audio part, I'm going to play it so you guys can hear it. Like, okay, like what part am I talking about Allah's forgiveness and all.
He says, do whatever you want. As long as you don't associate partners with me, I will always forgive. She says, ya ibadi, Allah is calling out. He says, oh my slaves, those who have transgressed against themselves. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never, ever, ever give up hope in the mercy of your Rabb. This is Allah. This is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who between wudu and wudu, He forgives your sins. Between Salah and Salah, He forgives your sins. Between Jum'ah and Jum'ah, He forgives your sins. Between Ramadan and Ramadan, He forgives your sins. Between Hajj and Hajj, never mind, forgives your sins. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, you go back to the day your mother gave birth to you. In fact, it's better than that, because when you were born, you didn't have any good deeds. Allah will wipe away your sins and keep your deeds.
So, the basic gist of this, like, even say, like, okay, say you pray your Fajr Salah. You go to your parents. You even give them a smile. Allah forgives you. Like, He forgives, like, your sins for that. Like, literally, it's the easiest thing. Even smiling or saying Salam, Allah forgives you. Like,
SubhanAllah.
Look how merciful Allah is.
SubhanAllah. And, I mean, like, look at, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so many sifat, so many qualities, so many, you know, names, right, that describe who He is. What are the two names that He begins with? That, like, we have every surah of the Quran, except for, you know, one of them, mm-hmm. Surah At-Tawbah. What are the two names that Allah defines Himself as in the Basmala, right? Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, the universally merciful, the one who is, you know, who has mercy for all, you know, for creation, and Ar-Rahim, the one who has mercy, special mercy for the believers, to the best of my knowledge. Mm-hmm. Again, someone can correct me if that's not correct, but this is the Allah. You know, Allah is on our side, right? Allah wants to forgive us, and you know, something I heard from one of my teachers is like, you know, Allah wouldn't have guided you to ask to make a dua, to, you know, to call upon Him, unless He wanted to accept it, right? Like, you know, why would He, because again, everything comes from Allah, like, you know, why would He kind of give you this urge to turn back to Him unless He wanted you to, like, you know, he wanted to turn back to you in a sense, you know, obviously, you know, but you know, who moved, right? That's the thing. Like, and if someone complains, you know, sometimes I say this myself, like, you know, when we move, like when we feel distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who moved? Who's the one who kind of went away from Allah? It's us, right? You know, Allah didn't go anywhere. So it's our duty and our kind of, our obligation to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it's too late. And, you know, some of us don't have that. We don't know how much longer we have to go. We really don't. I mean, and like the sooner the better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready and willing to forgive us so much. Mm-hmm. And look at how much mercy Allah gives to people who not just don't ask for his mercy, right? To people who don't even know who he is, to people who openly deny him, to people who openly mock him. You know, like, look at all those. I mean, I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not going to go into much detail about that because it's kind of gross. But I mean, people who like openly mock the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, you know, people who say he has a son. I mean, like, you know, no offense to like people, to any like people who are Christian.
We're not trying to offend anyone from any religion.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like,
we're just clarifying stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But look at all these blasphemous things that people say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he still lets them, not only does he let them live, he lets them like enjoy life. He gives them food, he gives them water, he gives them air, he gives them families, he gives them all this stuff, because like this is just how merciful Allah is. And that, like, let alone asking for his mercy, so what about the people who are actually asking for his mercy? Mm-hmm. If this is how merciful he is to those who aren't asking for his mercy, what about the people who are asking for his mercy? So I implore, you know, myself and, you know, anyone else, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy, ask for his forgiveness today, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. It is not too late. Anyone who still is alive, anyone who hasn't experienced the sakarat al-maut, as I say, the pangs and the moments of death, it's not too late for you to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We have an entire 24 hours in a day. That's even like 2 to 5 minutes just asking Allah, Ya Allah, whatever I've done so far throughout my day, Ya Allah, just forgive me, astaghfirullah, just whatever, just make dua and Allah will forgive you, because
take advantage of those 24 hours, right?
In like one of the Sira classes, we talked about, like, I think even the very first one that we were talking about, like, being grateful for everything that we have and being grateful for every second that we have, like, because you never know what's gonna happen. Like, in the next 5 seconds, something might happen. You don't know. Maybe after this podcast, like, God forbid, like, I might just die.
I mean, that's, who's going to argue with God's judgment, right? Who's going to argue, like, you know, his decree is final.
Now I remember. So,
yeah.
This was years ago. All of us, like, you know how we were, like, young, and then we asked, like, oh, if you had to choose a superpower to have, what would it be? We already have a superpower. We have a superpower of where we can sin throughout the day and yet not die, because Allah forgives us even the single breath that we take throughout the day. That's Allah's mercy. He lets you breathe every single day.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And
There was this guy named Ali Banat. He was like very rich and he was well known throughout his community. And one day he found out he was diagnosed with cancer. And once he found out, then he realized, like, oh my God, like, look how short life is. Like, then after that, he kept after that realization, he was thankful for every second of his life. Like, he built masjid, like, schools for orphans and all of that. And like, it's amazing, because, like, one tiny, like, announcement in our life can, like, change our entire perspective on things.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And, like, you mentioned the thing about the breath, right? I mean, like, if, I mean, it's so easy. Like, what something that COVID-19 taught me was, like, the things that we say, like, oh, be thankful for every moment, be thankful for, like, every breath, be thankful for, like, you know, the opportunity, you know, like, something like, you know, like, we're, like, something a sheikh might, like, start a lesson within the masjid is, like, we thank Allah for the opportunity to, like,
be here, yeah, like, every Jummah,
you know, be in his house, to worship in his house. We're thankful to Allah for the food we eat. We're thankful to Allah for the time we have. And obviously, we are thankful. Inshallah, we are thankful.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not, did I really think that this could actually be taken away from me? That this could actually be taken away from us? Like, did we really understand what it meant to be taken away, like, for the opportunity to just assemble in public? To be who even ever thought of that even as a blessing? It's just a given. Like, you know, you go to the mall, you go to the grocery store, you go to school, you go to the masjid, you go wherever you want. And, like, you know, I mean, like, the only thing you have to worry about is, I don't know, traffic, or, like, you know, sometimes there's so many people that, like, you don't have room to move around, like Jummah or something, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, whoever thought that was a blessing in the first place, like, whoever, like, really reflected, like, how much of a blessing it was, and how could it ever be taken away from us?
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's anything that this pandemic really taught me, it's, like, there is nothing that, like, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that, everything that we have can so easily be taken away. And what a small touch of that we really did not lose that much in this pandemic. Like, you know, I mean, the fact that I still have an internet connection and a computer that works, and, like, we're talking here, we're, like, chill and relaxed,
mm-hmm.
like, means that we really kept a lot. Like, we really did not, like, I mean, lose that much. I mean, so alhamdulillah, that's Allah's. And, like, who obligated Allah to even give us this, right? Who, like, I mean, how many people don't have any of this, right? And have to, and are still so grateful. So, I mean, Allah was never obligated to, like, give us so much. Like, he gives us this kind of just remind, hey, remember who's in charge here. And so, like, you know, so many things that are a blessing that we don't even realize are blessings. So don't, you know, let's not, you know, forget all of those things that are blessings. And just another thing about, like, physical health, like, you know, I saw someone who like lost, you slowly started, you know, losing his ability to kind of even, like, breathe. You know, we think, you know, like, how many breaths do we take in a day? So there's 86,000, I think, 400 seconds in a day. And let's say, like, each of those seconds is one breath. That's 86,400 breaths in a day.
Just one day. Now imagine your entire lifetime.
And, like, you know, you look at any COVID ward right now. Look at how people, look at how Allah has tested those people. Look at how difficult it is for those people to breathe. The most fundamental thing that, you know, allows a human to live. You know, Allah can, you know, who's gonna argue with the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's, you know, he's in charge, he's Rabbul Alameen, he's master and lord of everything in existence, and he gives and he takes away in his wisdom and in his mercy. Mm-hmm. This is what, like, and all we have to do is submit to his will. And when he gives to us, we have to be grateful and use those, like, be grateful for those blessings. And in our gratitude, we use those things. We use this life that Allah gives us. We use this breath, you know, in a sense that Allah gives us for his, you know, for what he's commanded us to do. And, like, who's to say that if we don't use it for what Allah has given us, like, who's going to stop Allah from taking that away? You know, he took away, you know, like, now we have, I think, over 300,000 people, like, reported have died from COVID just in the United States. And Allah knows best. You know, some people say it's even more than that. That's just, you know, like, mm-hmm. how many, those are just, like, the numbers that are reported in hospitals, right? I mean, who knows how many other people, you know, died at home and stuff. So, I mean, point being, like, you know, Allah in his infinite, you know, wisdom gives and takes away. And if we're in a position where Allah has given away, taken away just a little bit, then remember the other blessings that Allah still kept to you. And remember the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't take away. And remember, the biggest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is iman in him. And it is faith and belief in him.
Yeah.
And one thing, you have everything.
So Umar Suleiman said this once in, like, I can't remember where, but it was a very long time ago. The biggest like, blessing that Muslims take for guarantee is being Muslim. Because for us, we never had to fight Islam. We were given it since the minute we were born. We were born into Islam.
Yeah.
That blessing is snatched from people that are looking for Islam, like Christians that convert, for Jews, atheist people that convert, like even for Muslims, we literally take the biggest thing for guaranteed, like our religion, we take it for a big guarantee, and we don't think about it, like where would we be without Islam right now?
I was telling my mom this, like, I mean, I'm just so thankful we're Muslim, because it made, you know, it makes this kind of loss so much, imagine if, like, you know, for everyone else, you know, who like, for anyone who doesn't believe in an afterlife, right? I mean, that's it. Like, mm-hmm. death is it. Like, you know, you had however many years, and that's it. And you kind of just have to be happy with that. What if there were unhappy years? What if, you know, like, what if you didn't get to see them that often? What if? But, like, you kind of just have to be content with that. I mean, like, but, like, Allah, in His mercy, again, gave us, you know, the hope that we'll reunite with our loved ones, however long, you know, after we separate. So it's just when we lose, you know, these people in our lives, it's not the end of the line. There's still so much more. And, like, we get, you know, what is 100 years? What is 50 years? What is 75 years? However many years, 80 years. What is even 200 years? What's 1,000 years compared to infinity? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for math people out there, what is 1/0? What is 2/0? What is 100/0? What is over infinity? It's all zero.
Yeah, even like, we're given this one night, Laylatul Qadr, during Ramadan.
Yeah.
You make it through that one night, you be thankful for like what you have. You ask Allah for forgiveness. That goes, like, how much is that one night? How long does it extend to for Allah's mercy? Like, what, 83.333 years?
Yeah, subhanAllah, yeah.
Like, that one night of asking for being thankful for that one night.
May Allah grant us, you know, that night, you know, mm-hmm. you know, may Allah, you know, allow us to be among those who ask for, you know, who grant us that in that night.
So, yeah. Like, let's switch topics now to, like...
Okay, sure.
Like, okay, so in the world currently right now, there's still COVID and all of that. So... what this weekend is a Super Bowl, you enjoy, like, what?
Yeah
Super Bowl is a big deal, because for me, every year during Super Bowl, I always hang out with my friends that I grew up at with MEC. Mm-hmm. And we have fun that night, so
yeah,
like, Super Bowl is a big deal.
I mean I'm not someone who was ever, like, super into sports. Like, I know a few things because, like, mm-hmm. I have so many friends who are. So, like, I know enough to kind of keep up, but, like, I mean, it's not like I have a super big kind of emotional investment into it. I mean, not that I'm saying you shouldn't. Like, it's not, like, something I, but, like, I mean, for me, I just love the social aspect of it. Like, I loved, like, the idea of, like, just, like, having a Super Bowl party and, like, having just a camaraderie of, like, your fellow brothers getting together, having some, you know, for a good time. Enjoying the same, all enjoying the same thing together, and just, like, having this sort of shared experience. And some of my most, like, fun memories are honestly from, like, these Super Bowl parties.
Yeah, like, from like NBA finals or anything like that. Like,
or yeah, I mean, like, you know, getting back to, like, taking opportunities, right? For, like, we were talking about in the beginning. SubhanAllah, like, you know, it's an opportunity, like, you know, I don't encourage people, obviously not this year, because, you know, we're still in a pandemic. But I mean, it's an opportunity for, you know, for so many people to, like, pray in Jama'ah, right? Pray Salah in Jama'ah, for people to, you know, kind of, you know, establish those bonds of ukhuwah, of brotherhood, that are necessary, right? Like, you know, like, we're all brothers in Islam and brothers and sisters in Islam, and, like, building those bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam is such a key thing to kind of reinforce the values that we have, and, like, you know, this positive peer pressure that is necessary for a person to kind of be the best Muslim they can be. Because, like, when you're on your own, like, maybe you pray, like, sometimes you get lazy, sometimes you don't, I've certainly been guilty of this so many times, like you push off, you know, Lahore to like, you know, the last however many minutes. And like, you know, but when you're in a group, you just naturally kind of like when the time for Salah comes, you just pray immediately, right?
And yeah, you pray as a group and
yeah, you pray as a group and you get the reward of praying in a group and some kind of like, you know, and like, I mean, Salah is Salah. Like I you know, you can't really overemphasize the importance of Salah. So like, I mean, so like just to bring like, I mean, so, you know, you know, we're obligated to pray no matter what, right? You can't pray standing up, pray sitting in a chair. Or if you can't pray, you pray lying down. I mean, like, and other, you know, and like different, you know, scholars will say different things regarding those details. Like if you can't pray lying down, maybe it gives you some more options. Some scholars say like, if you can't pray lying down, then, you know, just, I mean, then probably not, you may not be obligated. But, you know, regardless, I mean, like, I get like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, you know, he's reaching his final days, right?
Yeah.
To give another example, just Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, the second Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, you know, one of the most famous companions and the most famous Sahaba, you know, he's the second Caliph, the second Khalifa, right? So he's leading Salat al-Fajr, he's leading, you know, the Fajr prayer. And this Persian slave Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi takes a poison dagger and stabs him. Okay, he stabs him a bit, once in the front, once in the back, and once in the stomach, and drags it down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know Umar falls. I don't know what happened, but like, you know he's
bleeding out.
Yeah. So like, he's not in a good state, anyways. You know, and like he, from what I understand, I mean, like he pulls Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, who is also very famous Sahabi, very famous companion, to kind of lead. So like, you know, they take him, you know, they take Umar, so like, and then, so they take Umar, and like, you know, and they, you know, the doctor, he sees the wounds, and he says he's not going to survive this. So like Umar, radiallahu anhu, goes in and out of consciousness. What does he say? Asalla an-nas, have the people prayed? What's the first thing out of his mouth? So I assume that was the first thing out of his mouth. But the fact that he asks it at all, asalla an-nas, not who killed me, not, you know, what happened, not like what's going on, am I gonna, not, no, it's asalla an-nas, have the people prayed? There is no such thing as overemphasizing the salah. There's no such thing as being too busy to pray. There's no such thing as putting too much emphasis on salah. It is the first thing that we're going to be asked about on the day of judgment. So,
even like,
is in order, you know, whoever salah is in order, the rest of their is everything else going to be in order. Whoever salah is in order, everything else is not going to be in order. We ask Allah to protect.
Yeah, even to the point like, okay, I don't know for sure is it, but when the call of praying was being called, Umar radiallahu anhu, while being stabbed and bleeding out, he got up and was trying to go to the salah and pray.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "Where are you going to go pray salah?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "What's wrong with you? You're bleeding out." But he said salah comes first.
So like I said, you know, like in his stomach, like if I'm not mistaken, like he tried, I think, drinking water.
And,
like, it came out of his like. Someone can double check on that story. But I mean, needless to say, he was, and these are the ones that killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so to kind of bring it back to what we were talking about, I mean, so like what I want, you know, inshallah, everyone who's kind of like having a Super Bowl, like within their own homes, like with their families or something, or if you've been vaccinated or if you have kind of had your own pod of extended people that you kind of keep to, like if you're having a party at your house, I want everyone to, like, okay, so like when the game starts at 5, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, let's say everyone gets there. You know, just everyone like, so okay, pray Maghrib first, mm-hmm. and together in a group, and then when the game is over, pray Isha as well. Okay, so that's two prayers you get in Jama'ah. Subhanallah. Like, you know, if you have like, you know, let this Super Bowl party. You know, it's just a Super Bowl. Like, it's a football game.
It comes nearly.
Use this opportunity to be a source of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by having the salah in jama'ah, by, you know, getting together for the sake of Allah. And, you know, there's so many things that we do. There's so many of the mundane things that we do. whether it's, you know, if you're, you know, if you're driving, like driving to work, whether it's working itself, whether it's, you know, even subhanAllah, even using the restroom or having a meal or something, all of those things can be done with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, you know, you're driving to work, you're making a salary so you can benefit your family, so you can, you know, and that's a good thing, obviously, you know, earning risk for your families is, you know, the, one of the obligations that men have for their families, or working itself, or, you know, using the right, like, you know, entering with your left foot and, like, you know, not facing the Qibla and, like, you know, doing proper istinja, you know, all those things, you know, like you can all, and, or, I mean, like with a meal, like starting with Bismillah, eating with your right hand, saying the dua, all like all of these all of these mundane things. Show me one thing that we do that can't be turned into something that gets us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I ask, you know, everyone to do, inshallah, is this going to come out before the Super Bowl?
I'm gonna most likely get out by this weekend.
Okay, yeah, I mean, if the Super Bowl's already passed, then, you know, inshallah next year. But, like, any other, but, like, this can apply to any, you know, evening sort of, like, gathering, right? Like, let it be, if you're going to have a bunch of Muslims come together, let it be a source of khair, let it be a source of goodness, let it be a source, you know, like, you know, pray those two, or more, like, if you have time for Asr as well, you know, if Asr time comes in as well, like, you know, pray Asr and Jama'ah, pray Maghrib and Jama'ah, pray Isha and Jama'ah, in congregation, you know, get there. If you're the host, inshallah, like, make the intention of, like, getting the reward for all those people praying in your house,
Or like, you know, even for feeding people, like,
for feeding people, for, you know, hosting, for bringing people together, for, you know, establishing those bonds of brotherhood, and so much can be said. But yeah, so, like, that's, you know, that's, I guess, you know, there's the opportunity in the Super Bowl.
All right, so let's start the Q&A. But before that, Hamza, like, whatever you want to shout out right now, like your Instagram, where can people find you and all of that?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm so not used to this. So my Twitter is at Hamza Hussein 40. If you like HAMZAHUSSAIN, then 40, that's my Twitter. My Instagram is at triple H, it's TRIPLEAYCH, so it's triple AYCH on Instagram. I post Salawat reminders every Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a DePaul student, there's DePaul Fastathon, which is coming up on February 11th. So if anyone's interested in registering, let me know. Seats are filling up fast. Inshallah, it's going to be with Sheikh Omar Hadrooj of ICN Youth. What else? Check out Fahad's YouTube channel.
Everything that we're shouting out and saying right now, it's all gonna be in the description below.
Okay.
You guys have to check it out. And
I'm just trying to think of anything. Yeah, I mean,
if you so as I asked you, like, for questions and all of that, so would you like to start?
I wanted to ask. So, like, you know, kind of start from the, it's like, where and how did you grow up? Were you born here in like, were you born here in Chicago? Were you born
So, I was born in Winston.
Okay.
Because that's where we lived before, like, moving.
So you were born in Evanston, okay. Yeah,
I was born in Evanston because we had a house there, but moved, like, shortly after and all.
Gotcha, okay.
So, I was born in Evanston. I was born on a Friday, actually.
MashaAllah.
A little after, like, Jummah Salah. So
really?
I'm
wondering if, like, your dad, like, had to quickly run from Jamal.
So my younger brother, that's a year younger than me, we were both born in the same hospital, like Jummah, like on Jummah day, and
mashallah, something to be proud of. And, you know, I ask that, you know, Allah takes you when our time comes, that just as He brought you into this world on a Friday, that He takes you away on it. mm-hmm. you know, inshallah, the one who's taken on a Friday is saved from the fitna and the adab of the qabr. So subhanAllah. So like, what do you do now, or like, what are you studying now, and like, what are you planning on doing or studying in the future?
So I go to Oakton, yeah. and I major in computer science.
Okay.
And I'm gonna be doing web development.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. MashaAllah. That's just succeeding with my podcast and YouTube channel, because like for me growing up, like. In my last podcast, I said to Jamal, like, I want to become a motivational speaker for the youth and all of that,
mm-hmm.
because it's something that I really enjoy. And yeah.
MashaAllah, yeah. You know, that's good for you. Barakallahu fik. May Allah bless you and increase you and mm-hmm. kind of use you for goodness and mm-hmm. for khair and to benefit the ummah. My third question, when did you like decide to get closer to the deen, and how did you decide to kind of like, you know, you were just like, you know what, I'm born Muslim, but like, I'm actually going to like be Muslim. Like one of my teachers called, like, everyone should have like a convert moment where they sort of like, mm-hmm. they decide that they're actually like going to, like, even if they're born Muslim, like, or they decide that they're actually going to take this deen seriously and like act upon, and instead of not just being Muslim by name, but also in action.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I think it was after graduating from MET, because I never had a public school experience, so high school was my first stop at a public school experience. It was difficult just fitting in and all of that, because I was one of the few Muslims, because main style was,
yep.
you know, all white school, like,
it's, yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. like it's at the beginning of Jamal's podcast,
yeah, we both went to an all white school and we're Desis and we're Muslim and all of that, so it was hard finding our friend group and all of that. And like for me, like I said, also I've had 3 open heart surgeries before I turned 18. So I had 3 open heart surgeries and all of that. So, part of the risk of like an open heart surgery is death and all of that, and that's a big wake up call for anyone. And at that point, like, yeah, I started. I'm like, I seriously got into it more and more. Like, I want to learn more about my deen and all. And yeah, that was the wake up call for me. And that's when I started benefiting, like, every tiny breath and, like, not taking everything for granted, whatever we have. Be satisfied with what you have.
The last thing I'll ask is, what is the best piece of advice you have?
Best piece of advice? Like I said last time, like, just have a positive attitude on life. Like, no matter how bad things get, there's always some good. But you have to find it on your own. You can't always be given like the good stuff. You always have to find out what's the good in the bad situation. Like, there's always something beneficial. And a few questions, like, I have like 2 questions for you. So the 2 questions I had for you. So you said you were majoring in Arabic studies and like,
that's right. Yes.
And so that's usually not like someone's usually major topic. What made you decide like you want to pursue Arabic studies?
That's a good question. So I always loved, so I mean, like when I was memorizing, I used to, actually towards the end of my memorization, my brother who used to drive me to school, he was also in an Arabic class himself, and I used to like help him study on the way to school to Dar es Salaam. And in actually helping him study, I picked up a few things on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then later when I joined when I entered high school, and I took a couple of Arabic classes at IFS, at Islamic Foundation, I really kind of I really wanted to, like, I had this yearning to kind of understand what I had memorized, because like for a lot of us, like, because like we were, you know, you're sitting 8 hours a day, and you're like, you're sitting there, you're memorizing, you're reciting and stuff, you don't have any idea what any of this means, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's so it's just such a what a state to be in. Like, obviously it's so beneficial to, like, you know, you're reciting Quran 8 hours a day, like how much reward are you getting, right? But I mean, like, there's so much. It's like once you start, and, like, you know, and so, like, I just had a great yearning to know what I was to understand what I was reciting and memorizing. And, like, so when I got to high school, like, I was so, like, geared up and ready to learn Arabic. And, like, I found that I just really had this passion for the Arabic language. And and alhamdulillah, like, I was able to kind of progress, alhamdulillah, you know, with Allah's, it was just all through Allah's tawfiq. I was able to progress, a lot in a short amount of time, alhamdulillah. So, and, like, when I tried to decide, like, what I was going to do, I was like, you know, so inshallah, I was like, I'm already planning on studying the deen anyways. I might as well get a head start on it and learn Arabic. And I already love Arabic so much. So that's why I decided to learn Arabic.
Mm-hmm. And my other question is, like, one advice that you would give to the listeners that are listening, the biggest advice you've ever received, what would you give them?
Man, what a question. I mean, the best advice that can be given is, you know, obviously, is a fear, just, you know, fear your creator as much as you are able to. Have taqwa of Allah, be conscious of Allah as much as you're able, but is, you know, the first thing that kind of comes to mind. And that's, you know, but, like, something that's specific to my own experience is subhanallah, like, just honestly, take control. Like, don't let life pass you by without you kind of taking the opportunities to and to kind of make it the best thing. Because I had, you know, I'm already 24 years old, right? And, like, there's already people who are technically adults who are much younger than me, right? And I mean, there's so many, like, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but at the end of the day, like, there's so much stuff that I wish I could have done. Like, for example, I lived on campus for a year and a half. And, like, there's so many opportunities, like, there's every single day I could have, like, you know, and, like, I was not someone who really kind of went out too much. Like, I used to, there was, like, one restaurant we used to go to every Monday. You know, we would slide to Doghouse, as we would call it. that was really kind of it. And, like, every so often I might go to a place like downtown or something, but, like, there was so much exploring I always wanted to do, but I never got to do because, like, I just not someone who got out of my comfort zone a whole lot, and, like, just other stuff too. And like, when COVID happened, what hurt especially about it is because I knew that, like, that was over, and, like, you know, all the stuff that I had planned to do was just gone. So, and, like, I had so many regrets. Like, there were so many opportunities I could have had to, you know, kind of have those experiences that I'm never going to get again, you know, of, like, being this college student living, you know, in the city. So I would say, like, you know, you might think you have opportunities coming up where you can put those things, but, like, you don't have these opportunities. And the best opportunities, like, if you have an opportunity to study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of Islam, go ahead and do it. If you have, like, a spare year between undergrad and grad school, or undergrad and work or something, like, I would highly recommend you you kind of, you know, to study the deen, to, like, become more familiar with, you know, the basic fara'il, the basic obligations that we have of our deen. And, like, you know, whether it's whether it's, you know, just fine-tuning your fiqh, or, or getting more detailed about, like, you know, our aqidah, our like, our system of beliefs, or, like, having some basic knowledge on, like, how to purify your soul, you know, tazkiyah, all this kind of stuff. And this is essential for every Muslim to know. And, like, you know, letting this opportunity present itself and not, you know, taking advantage of it would be a great loss. And don't let that loss be a source of regret. Like, if I had to sum it up, everything, don't let your future self have regrets.
Like, take every opportunity that's yielded to however you can.
Well, yeah.
Hey, so about it. And
so, okay.
And to find Hamza, I'm going to link everything in the description below.
All right.
And thank you, everyone, for watching. And Hamza, thank you for doing the second episode with me. Really, really.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Jazakallah khairan. Again, I hope we can, inshallah, stay in touch in the future. And, inshallah, like, you know, if I said anything that was wrong, please, you know, feel free to contact me and correct me. And if you want to issue a correct, like, you know, it's not easy to get this right. So I'm completely open to criticism and corrections and all that, you know, no kind of barriers at all. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't even call myself a student. So, like, you know, like, if I said something that was wrong, if I said something that offended you, if I said, you know, anything that was just incorrect, please let me know. And I'll announce it publicly. And, you know, Fahad, you want to, like, tell everyone as well. And, but yeah. And everything that was beneficial was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. So again, I want to thank you, Fahad, for, you know, giving me this opportunity. Inshallah, again, we get this chance again soon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, you know, bless this ummah and take us out of this pandemic and kind of allow us to come back to him and come back to normal society with the lessons that we learned from COVID in our hearts and in our minds. Bismillah ta'ala.